And we are excited about the meeting. Let me just give you a quick rundown. Of course, this morning at this time, Dr. David Atkinson speaking to us, and then Brother Peter Gunther will be preaching in the 11 o'clock hour. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, that's our evening meeting starting at 5, and we'll enjoy having Brother David Atkinson speaking in the afternoon meeting as well. Then starting tomorrow night, okay, we'll have Dr. John Reynolds and Dr. Atkinson. That'll be opening up. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Tuesday morning at 10, and everyone's invited to the 10 o'clock meeting. And it's not just for preachers, it's for everybody. So come and be with us, Brother Ronnie Bearfield. You've never heard him before. Ronnie is a good friend of mine from down in Mississippi. And Brother Jerry Adkins will be speaking. That's on Tuesday morning. And Brother Dennis Petty, all three on Tuesday morning. Tuesday night, Dr. Ralph Sexton will be here. Brother Vic Bledsoe. I tell you what, looking forward to all these fellas. Wednesday morning, our own Brother Josh is going to be speaking, Jody Jenkins, and Bob Sanders. We look forward to that. And then Wednesday night, Brother Peter Gunther and Brother Ed Moore. I figure by the time we get to Wednesday night, both these fellas is going to wear you out. So, you know, and no, I look forward to all of these speakers. Great, great fellas. And it's not just that, we're praying for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God, to come down in a powerful way. And we are this year remembering, and this entire Jubilee is in memory of Pastor Dr. Rayton Puckett, Pastor Emeritus to us here. A wonderful friend, confidant, just a great encourager to me over the 25 years I've been here. This Sunday, 25 years that you've put up with me, and I appreciate you doing that. If it hadn't been for Sandra, I know you wouldn't have. But anyway, you have. Thank the Lord for that, for 25 years. And it's a blessing to me. Thank you, church, for allowing me to be your pastor during this time. We're very blessed. And those of you who are joining us through our Facebook or YouTube, we're going to do our best, as long as Facebook cooperates with us and the Internet. And YouTube and all, we'll be broadcasting all of these services. So we want you to watch us and be in it and pray for us. Don't just watch us, you know, get in the meeting right there where you are, sing and rejoice in the Lord. Come and be with us, if at all possible, during this week's meetings, okay? So we have morning meetings Tuesday and Wednesday morning, each evening at 7, except for this evening, this afternoon, 5 o'clock will be the time, all righty? Well, good to have Dr. David Atkinson with us, and we love him, his sweet wife, Jane. We want him to come now and speak to us. Brother David, you come right on. I think Josh has got you all hooked up.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good to have you.
Thanks for the privilege.
Love you.
Thank you, sir. Love you, too. Good morning. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord Jesus and for encouraging your pastor and the rest of us by being here today. And may the Lord stoop low to clay and meet with us and glorify himself and his precious name these days we have together. I'm deeply grateful to Pastor Brad Davis for the privilege and honor to be back with you here at Antioch. And I do not take the honor and the privilege lightly, Pastor. Thank you so much for your friendship and the honor of being here. This poem, which is very old, I mean old for me, one of the 1970s poems, and this message in this hour is dedicated, yes, to the memory of the pastor emeritus of this church, Brother Rayton Puckett, whose funeral Pastor Davis conducted only yesterday. And I thought it only proper that I take this type of a subject on this occasion, one day after the funeral of the pastor emeritus of this local fellowship. The poem is called Dear Saint, Dear Saint, and it's based on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Dear Saint, lay down your load and take up rest. Welcome home. Sit down, ye blessed. Lay down sorrow. Take up joy. Put off weeping. Death can't destroy the seed of life that God doth plant. Death tries to kill, but finds he can't. You're not beneath corruption, sod. You're in the presence of our God. Bright day, dear saint. Bright day. Dear saint, life's battle's won. The strife is done. The pain is gone. The race is run. The crying's through. All things new. A mansion now God has for you. Well done, dear saint. Well done. Come, walk upon the street of gold. Come hear the half that's ne'er been told. Come, stay a while with Paul and John. Come meet the souls who traveled on. Sweet peace, dear saint. Sweet peace. Now, let's turn, please, to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We'll begin our reading at the first verse. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, Sunday, the pronoun they refers to the women mentioned back in Luke chapter 23, verse 55. The women came unto the sepulchre or grave, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And you'll find the names over in verse 10 of the passage. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These were angels. And as the women were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they, that is the two men, the angels, said unto the women, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Close to 30 years ago, I called Johnny Pope for permission and advice on this message. Johnny Pope replied, oh, I got a lot of it from John Milton, who went to heaven 300 years ago. Johnny Pope said, I got a lot of it from John Milton and some from Billy Kelly. So, John Milton, who's been in heaven for 300 years, and Billy Kelly, Johnny Pope, and I will try to preach today. The title of the message is, That Great Getting Up Morning. That great getting up morning. And our text is Luke 24, verse 1, section A and B. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, our text plainly states that the evidence for the bodily resurrection of our Lord was discovered very early in the morning. It was so early that it was still dark. John chapter 20, verse 1. I must confess, I might as well just be transparent. I personally have some difficulty with mornings. I once saw a single frame cartoon of a scowling Garfield the cat. Do you know Garfield? If you don't, you're missing it. The caption under the single frame cartoon read, "I don't do mornings." I'm a lot like Garfield in that respect. In fact, my life verse could be Proverbs 27:14, which reads, "He that blesseth his friends with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him." Do not phone me early in the morning. My brain doesn't turn on till 11 a.m. However, many people do get up early to do different things. Some get up early to go hunting. Some get up early to go fishing. Others get up early to begin a long journey. Jesus often got up early in the morning to pray. John 8, 1 and 2, Mark 1, 32 and thereafter. Many of God's choice servants had this practice of meeting God early in the morning. Jacob met God early in the morning in Genesis 28. Moses met God early in the morning in Exodus 24. And Elkanah and Hannah met God early in the morning in 1 Samuel 1 verse 19. By sad contrast, the Bible tells us that on numerous occasions, the rebellious children of Israel got up early to pursue sin. Exodus 32 verses 6 and 7 and Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 7. But God was long suffering and merciful. And even after Moses had reacted against the lewd idolatry of the Israelites and had broken the tablets that had the Ten Commandments, the Bible tells us that the God who never sleeps got up early to renew the covenant. Figure that out if you can. I cannot. The God who never sleeps got up early to renew the covenant. He loves us. He loves we, all of us who are sinners. And new tables of the law were written. Exodus 34, verse 4. And this merciful, covenant-renewing God now urges everyone to seek Him early, that He may be found. Proverbs 8:17. Wise men and women and youth worship God early in life. Don't wait until you burn down a half or three quarters of your life to seek the Lord. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to Thee. However, in the first several verses of Luke 24, it is love that gets up early. Spiritual love, proper love, gets up early to finish embalming the body of the loved Master. Love gets up early and plans to persevere in reverent love in spite of obstacles. The chief obstacle to this expression of love, they knew, would be the stone which had been rolled in front of the tomb, Mark 16:3. Imagine with me, if you will, and I do use the word imagine. Imagine with me some of the events that may have taken place that wonderful morning when love got up early. It all took place 2,000 years ago. Sometime between midnight and dawn, the darkest angel of light there ever was The one who walks to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. This wicked one suddenly accosted one of his own demons. He came with the gentleness and finesse of a roaring lion. And he was angry. Now, Satan had no trouble locating his demon. He had placed him there on special assignment. Special assignment. Hissed Satan. The most important assignment in all of human history, he had said. And don't you blow it. He had threatened with a snarl. Our eternal destiny depends on it. Don't blow it. This accuser of the brethren, and demons too, found his demon pacing back and forth in front of the tombstone, lodged and sealed against the mouth of the grave in that garden, hard by the city wall of old Jerusalem. The demon's name was Death. It was early in the morning on the first day. Coming out of nowhere, Satan slipped in behind Death just as he was about to turn around and retrace his nervous steps. Ah! Screeched the demon. For the devils believe and tremble. Ah! Where did you come from, most exalted master? I came from where I always come from, hissed Lucifer. But I didn't come so you could interrogate me. I came to ask you a question. Why, of course, master. What is your question, most exalted one? Asked demon Death, as he looked away furtively from the ferocity of Satan's blazing eyes. You know what my question is, hurled the tempter. My question is, have you got him? Have you got him? Yes, master. Certainly I've got him. I got John the Baptist, didn't I? Replied demon Death, trying as much as anything to encourage himself. Well, you had better have him. And Satan paused and glanced about and then spoke again with disgust, gurgling up from his sepulchral throat. And just where is demon corruption? He should be here by now. Oh, don't worry, exalted one. The demon corruption is on the way. He's never missed an appointment yet. And he'd better not miss this one, spat Satan. Corruption! Who are you? You're supposed to be here by now. Corruption! Corruption! I'm warning you! Then just as suddenly as he had appeared, Satan was gone. It was many hours before demon Death's pointed teeth stopped chattering out the dirge of the damned. It was strange that demon corruption had not arrived yet. For he was never late. The hours seemed like an eternity, but that was only because demon Death had never fully experienced eternity before, because he was a created being. Death did not have to wonder when the first day gave way to the morning of the second day, for Satan appeared again in a fury, and somewhat earlier than he had done the first day. This time, there was no preamble or casual hurling of mutual demonic insults. Satan got right to the point. Have you still got him, demon Death? He screamed, his fiery veins bulging at his temples. Why, yes, my master, of course, I've still got him. I haven't lost anyone since Enoch and Elijah, ventured Death nervously. Nervously but bravely, for Satan hated the memories of Enoch and Elijah, the two who got away. Satan seemed preoccupied and did not launch into his usual tirade about death's incompetency in the cases of Enoch and Elijah. It was obvious that one thing was uppermost in his mind at that moment, yet Satan tried not to seem overly anxious or threatened. He lowered his voice, feigning composure, and managed a rather matter-of-fact statement. "Demon corruption has arrived, I am sure," said Satan through a devilish smile. Demon death once again looked furtively away from Satan's eyes and braced himself for the verbal onslaught. "What? Does your silence tell me that that fool corruption has still not arrived? I'll demote him. That's what I'll do. I will torture him. I will destroy him. Corruption, you fool! Where are you? Corruption, come here immediately!" But demon corruption did not come. And Satan squawked like a wounded guinea fowl as he raged off into the pre-dawn darkness. But still, demon corruption did not come. Not that dawn, not that morning, not that noon, not that evening. Corruption did not come. But Satan came. He came back again just a few minutes after midnight on the morning of the third day. However, this time, when he learned that demon corruption still had not arrived, Satan took what was for him a very uncharacteristic approach. The approach of one whose confidence has been shaken, thought demon death. He really could not believe his ears. Satan actually made light of the seriousness of corruption's failure to arrive. Well, small matter, stammered Satan, obviously trying to convince himself, "I'll just take care of it myself. It's no big deal. There are some things that you have to do for yourself if you want them done right." With that, Satan looked gleefully down at his hands, stretched out his fingers, and watched sadistically as his talent grew and grew and grew. Satan walked toward the stone which blocked the entrance to the tomb, paused momentarily as he reached it, and suddenly was gone. In an instant, Satan found himself inside the tomb. The bright light forced him to shield his dark eyes and squint. And as Satan's eyes refocused, he was gripped by a bottomless horror at what he saw. The Lord Jesus, who was dead, was now standing, neatly folding the napkin which had been about his head. "Where are you going?" demanded Satan. "Out of here," replied Jesus calmly. "But you can't do that," protested Satan. "Death has you." "Death only thinks he has me," answered Jesus with complete serenity as he began to walk toward the mouth of the tomb. Satan's mouth had fallen open to a gape. He tried to speak, but the only sound was a gurgling, hissing rattle. And there is one other matter I need to take care of before I leave this place, said Jesus. "And just what would that be?" snapped Satan. "You have something that I want," replied Jesus, lowering his voice, almost to a whisper. "I want the keys. The keys of death and hell. Give them to me now." Satan raised his left arm, the talons gleaming in the effulgence that was now bathing the tomb. In fury, he lunged at Jesus, who took one deft step to the right. The blow missed its intended target, and the unchecked momentum sent the arch enemy of men's souls sprawling to the floor of the tomb like an uncoordinated toddler. He lay there whimpering. Jesus lifted a nail-pierced foot, placed it firmly on the head of his antagonist, and said, "O Lucifer, son of the morning, have you forgotten that in my Father's word it is written, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy hand, and thou shalt bruise his heel." With that, Jesus flexed the muscles of his leg and pushed his foot hard against Satan's head. While Satan groaned in pain, Jesus reached down and with one flick of his freshly scarred wrist, plucked up the keys of death and hell. Outside the tomb was heard one final muffled prophetic weak, "Have you still got him, death?" Demon death called back, I've still got him. I can't hold him anymore. He's gone." In an instant, Jesus had passed through the stone that blocked the mouth of the tomb. He greeted the two men clothed in white who stood one on either side of the tomb. "Good morning, Gabriel. Good morning, Michael," he smiled. "It's a great getting up morning." "Yes, Master. It's an eternally great getting up morning," replied Gabriel and Michael in unison. And as they sang that, all creation exploded in a universal symphony of song. Death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor for the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Yes, those who love the Lord got up early on the morning of the third day. But the Lord of love had gotten up even earlier. Because he arose, got up, and came out of that grave, there will also be a great getting up morning for Pastor Rayton Puckett and everyone who trusts only in the merits of his shed blood for the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah! What a Savior! There's going to be a great getting up morning for everyone who knows Jesus. And I urge you not to be wise according to the flesh in your own mind. Seek him. Seek the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bless thee and thank thee that Jesus agreed to be the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Lord Jesus, we bless thee that you are the first fruits. The first fruits of them that slept. I thought Brother Puckett was going to get better. That's the last I'd heard out of the hospital. But then the call when we were still in Kentucky, Jade and I heard he'd slipped over. And we thank thee that And someday the earthly tabernacle of Pastor Braden Puckett. He's going to rise in the resurrection morning. He will rise and his spirit will be reunited with the glorified tents. Lord Jesus, may every one of us be sure that we're ready for that great getting up morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
What are you going to say? Hallelujah. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Hallelujah. Isn't that Him? Praise His holy name. Thank you, Doc. Greatest message on the resurrection I ever heard right there. What a wonderful blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah, church. What a way to start the meeting. What a way, may I say to all of us, the demons of hell quaked this morning as this preacher was preaching. The resurrection of Christ flowing through right now rebuked all the demons of hell that might hinder and attack this meeting and hinder and attack our sister churches and over America as well. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. And how wonderful the message that brought the Scriptures to life. Isn't that marvelous? Hallelujah. The Bible says that our Lord Jesus defeated Satan openly. Embarrassing. Yeehaw! Hallelujah. Defeated him openly. Got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Hebrews 2 says, destroyed the works of the devil. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That's my Lord. That's yours, isn't it? Amen. Bless His sweet name. Well, take 10 minutes and shout and holler glory and praise the Lord and run to the restroom and get back in here. Amen. As soon as you can. We love you. Thank you. All righty. We'll take a break to 11. You go by and see Dr. Adkinson. Go by and see Brother Boggs' table back there. Brother Josh has a great table set up with Southwest Radio Ministries. You'll want to go see those things. All righty.